My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Yeah, Football Friday. What's up and welcome in. It is time on Grant and Danny to get you ready for the first weekend in the National Football League. I don't even know what to do with my arms. I can't even control myself. I'm so excited. TJ Reeves, who works the sideline for Bucks Radio, joins us to preview Sunday's game with Tampa. And Michael Lombardi, who is both one of our favorite guests and the quickest hanger-upper.
Number one.
In the history of Grant and Danny guests. So, Ryan, good luck trying to get a thank you in to Michael Lombardi. He stops by at 3:30 today on The Fan. Ladies and gentlemen, on this Football Friday, I present to you, happy haircut, Danny Ruye.
I thought that was a great start to the show. Unfortunately, illegal formation. You were about 6 inches to the right of where you're supposed to be. Let's run it back and do it all over again. Enough of that. Enough. Stop it. One time is fine, maybe two. Let's not do this every 14 seconds. Stop it, NFL. You're too good. You're too good for that crap. Now, that's my last complaint. The football, she's a good.
Well, before we get to the good, can we complain a little more?
Oh, it's good. Yeah, yeah.
Enough.
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 Enough of this.
The beginning of that game and the flags being thrown. Couple of the penalties, you're just sending a message. It's pretty clear the tackle is about a yard and a half in the line of scrimmage, in the backfield, whatever. There was one, the last one they called, not a penalty. Not in any way. The tackle is splitting the guard in half, essentially. You're just doing it to do it. All I can hope, Danny, is that they threw so many flags in the early going of the first standalone game with the world watching that that was their let's just send the message here and now moment, and we're not going to get that on Sunday as we're watching all these other games. Because it did. Unwatchable is too strong. I watched every second.
Yeah, I watched it so hard.
Injected every piece of it into my veins like it was an IV, but enough.
Enough.
There was a ref show, and we were just... We didn't know what to do. When do I get to watch Mahomes? Where is Lamar Jackson? It's the Ravens and the Chiefs and the Hockules, and who am I supposed to be rooting for? That was brutal last night in the early going with all the flags.
And it felt like they were going to... Here's what it felt like to me. You ever had that happen where you like you go into some sort of rural town as like a visitor playing a sport, like some sort of sport, whether it's baseball or football or otherwise, and the head coach and the ref are buds, and the head coach is like, I want you to watch out for number 74. All right, what he's going to do is he's going to line up weird, he's going to line up wrong, or he's going to hold a bunch, and they go, I got you, coach, I got you, I'll see you at the diner after the game. And they just throw it on him. And they don't throw it on no Chiefs guys were ever doing it. Nobody lined up a little bit weird to try to deal with David Ojabo. Nobody one time was an inch and a half further back than they should have been or something like that. It felt very Ravens.
Well, by the way, I don't want to say the sole reason for the rule or the crackdown, but one of the biggest reasons was the habitual offender who plays for the Kansas City Chiefs, who regularly last year would line up a yard and a half off the ball and coaches would complain and routinely would start early, which you see with tackles all the time. Nobody more so than Lane Johnson with the Philadelphia Eagles. They didn't seem to care about that either.
No, it's not bothered.
But yeah, it was strange. And again, I'm not going to sit here most weeks and just complain about officiating. It's not like I'm talking about, oh, they threw too many flags on a holding or offsides, or you know, I don't like that they called the pass interference. This was a procedural issue you had with the left tackle being 6 inches too far into the backfield. Relax, football man. I've been waiting for months for this. Almost as long as a woman carries a human baby. We've been waiting for this game. Get out of my way and let me enjoy the thing that I love right now.
It reminds me of the Trey Turner play in the World Series, where if something's so egregious, like the guy's running down the first baseline, but he's 3 or 4 steps onto the grass to the left of the foul line, and the throw hits him in the shoulder, and he'd have been out by 10 feet. Okay, let's call him out for running out of the baseline. Other than that, shut up and stop it. The adults are here to do the high-level sport. If Ronnie Stanley is lining up like a fullback, you know what I mean? If he's like an offset wing T tight end that's gone in motion, and he's, you know, he's a 2 yards behind, and his head is not even with the butt of the center, you got him. You got me. Totally fine. I noticed that. That's bad. There were two, again, I think there were 4 total. There were 2 or 3 of those where I'm going, that was imperceptible compared to every other formation, every other play. Why?
It's just bad.
Why?
But now we're being negative.
Okay, that's it.
We had football last night.
Yes, now I'm good.
We don't need to start the show with negativity.
No, we shouldn't.
I'm going to clean it up. I'm going to turn things positive.
Do it.
Because I'm in such a good mood. My son came to the door today. Yeah. Never, ever, ever says goodbye. I always say, hey, buddy, daddy's going to work. Can I have a hug? And he goes, no.
Yeah, he's like, I don't care.
Can I have a kiss? And he's like, no. And then I walk out the door. Today he ran to the door. He opened the door and he said, have a good day at work.
Wow.
And I was like, wow. And then he said, dad. And I turn around and he goes, make sure you have a good day at work. He doubled down.
Be certain.
So between that and the football being back, your boy's feeling good. So I'm going to go around the room here with compliments, okay?
Oh.
Just dudes giving compliments. Danny, first compliment to you. You got a haircut today.
I did.
You're looking fresh.
Thanks.
You hate the sides of your head.
Yes, I do.
When there's like those feathery hairs, and so you tell them to take them all off, they're all gone.
They're gone.
You look good. Yeah. So congratulations.
Look okay. Thank you.
Darius, you're always so sweet. You're just a nice lad. I'm happy to see your smiling face today. Ryan, you brought us cookies yesterday. I mean, you're very handsome. You look like the guy in Twisters named Glenn Powell. Men want to be you. Women want to be with you. Okay? That kind of a deal. So there's the compliments for everybody in the room. Now let's get to the program. All right? Everyone is in a good mood?
Yeah. That was nice. Wasn't that nice?
Chiefs.
That was nice.
Ravens, Danny. God, it was good.
It wasn't it?
Why is this sport so popular? Why do people care so much? Why are these guys making such a big deal that it's coming back? It came down to a half of 1 inch last night. If a absolute beast, Isaiah Likely, what a performance.
Yeah, that was growing up stuff.
What a coming out party it was for him. 9 grabs, 111 yards and a touchdown, and some mauling IHOP amount of pancake blocks from him last night. But if he wears a shoe size, one size smaller, the Ravens tie the game, and you know they were going for 2 to try to win.
You saw Harbaugh with the deuces. He put them right up and said, let's go.
But you saw that one coming like 4 minutes out.
Oh, sure.
I'm sure everybody would have reacted the first Friday after the season opener very reasonably had the Ravens had gone for 2 and lost, or you know, based on Lamar's performance or whatever else everyone's going to be chewing up left and right today. But it came down to 1 inch. As we ran back the rematch of the AFC Championship game.
Just perfect. Just perfect. So a couple things, just notes on the possession. I don't know when it became the paradigm, but I think it has. I'm the old dinosaur that's going, spike it, spike it, spike it, spike it, and no one seems to have any interest in it. Mike Tirico and Chris Collinsworth on the broadcast, Tirico asked Collinsworth, wouldn't that have made sense to maybe ground the ball there and spike it? And Collinsworth had sort of muttered some sort of axiom or platitude of, they got to score anyway or something.
His point was so wrong and frankly, just dumb. So Tirico asked him, and you're talking about the Ravens get the ball down on the big catch.
Huge play to Rashad Bateman. Fingertip catch. Unbelievable stuff. The play ends with around 29 or 30 seconds left on the clock. Go.
They're inside the 10-yard line, and now the whole formation, including all the big boys that are out of breath that have been working hard all drive long, have to jog down 30 yards, line up inside the 10, get a snap off, and spike it. If you spike it, you save yourself, what would you guess, 15 seconds?
Well, it ended up, they finally snapped the ball after getting everybody organized with 19 seconds left. That play takes well. Jackson scrambles around a little bit, moves, then throws an incompletion where likely comes down awkward and hurts himself.
There's 9 seconds left.
Then there's only 10 seconds left.
Right. But my point is, there was 10 seconds of play that they ran.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not getting organized, calling a play, lining guys up, and you just run down and you're just using whatever your code word is for spike, apple, 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 and you get up to the line and you spike it, I think they would have saved themselves 15 seconds.
Absolutely. I would say at least.
But Tirico asks his analyst, who's very good, Chris Collinsworth, hey, should they have spiked it there? And Collinsworth, to your point, said, oh, you got to score either way. So, you know, they still have a couple more plays. The clock is the most important thing there. His point was, well, they would have run one play with the spike, and they ran one play anyway, so what's the difference? The difference is there's time left. After the incompletion to likely, you now have a fourth down play. So I thought his point was outrageously incorrect.
Agreed. So you set up this amazing moment because, of course, it had to come down to that, right? The 2-minute drill, such as it was, Baltimore wasted timeouts on defense earlier in the half. Again, that's another thing that I'll never understand. That coaches, how and why coaches do that.
As good as John Harbaugh is, that's a bit of a Harbaugh staple.
Yeah, in a close game against a good opponent, I can't ever do that. There's got to be something egregious. Like, they'll score if I don't do this. It's not worth 5 yards. It's not worth a delay of game to me. In the second half, that timeout in a close game, I'm going to need it on offense. And if I don't use it, fine. But I need to always save them for that.
The drama was just so good.
But the drama was perfect.
Likely on a couple plays before that. So there was a 3-play sequence at the end, throw into the end zone. Deep shot, corner of the end zone to Likely, who was open. If Lamar makes a good throw, it's a touchdown. Overthrows it back of the end zone, tries to make a leaping catch. Gets violently shoved to the ground. I thought he broke his hand.
I thought it was a wrist. Apparently, I mean, it's ribs.
Sounded like he dislocated something and then popped it back in. 2 plays later, he's right back on the field. Now, the play in the middle there, the sandwich play, was Zay Flowers wide open in the back of the end zone. Lamar missing him by 6 feet behind him. A little bit of a miscommunication where he thought he'd throttle it down. Zay was just kind of running into space in the back of the paint. So they missed there. And then the final play was the throw to Likely. Here's how it sounded last night on NBC on the national telecast.
And first four, Lamar trying to make magic happen. Throw it in zone. Likely, 2 feet down. Yes! Touchdown! What a play! Isaiah Likely!
Let's make sure.
Oh!
Very close. Is there enough to overturn?
Oh, that's on. That's on the line, isn't it? I think.
Terry McCauley's going to have to make this call, but it looks like that toe's on the line, Terry.
I agree completely. Oh. The right toe's on the line. It's out of bounds. This is going to be reversed to an incomplete pass.
Oh, my goodness.
So that's how it sounded last night on NBC. A few things there. Mike Tirico's the best.
Yeah.
What a great call.
Just awesome.
Second, I do like Collinsworth a lot, but Terry McCauley does not have to make that call. My mom or your dad or anybody's nephew could have made that call. His cleat was clearly on the chalk. Jackson, after the game, I don't know if you saw, said he thought it was a touchdown, and he still thinks it's a touchdown. And to that I would say, no, it wasn't, because his cleat landed on the paint, on the white chalk, out of bounds in the back of the end zone. But does not change what would have been an amazing play by both the quarterback and the tight end. An amazing drive. In the end, Chiefs win 27-20. Just rapid fire thoughts on the game really quick. Some things that I jotted down. I want to know what you thought. Football's the best. That was the first thing. Lamar's not going to last 17 games running that much. That seemed like maybe a game plan thing, I guess. He ran the ball 16 times last night for 122 yards. That's not going to work over 17 games. He also lost 15 pounds so that he could be quicker, and he was, I thought, in the game. But there was a point where he's running out of bounds, and he like lowered his shoulder and went helmet to helmet with someone. That was stupid. There were a couple of other just big, loud contact plays that I thought he could have avoided. But he's not going to have 17 of those in him. Now, he might only need 2 or 3 of those, but it's the first game, and that seems like the design is they're going to use him a lot running the football, and Derrick Henry only had 13 carries, but I just don't think that's sustainable. Travis Kelce was library quiet. He was whisper quiet in this game. Kelce ended up catching 3 balls for 34 yards. The number of Kelce catches was like 1/3 of the number of shots of his girlfriend Taylor Swift in the crowd. Just not a whole lot of Travis Kelce last night for the Chiefs. Isaiah Likely, amazing. He was the best tight end on the field. 9 for 111 and a score, coming into his own. My guess is he supplants Mark Andrews a little bit this year. Coming
to
off
a degree, yeah.
Andrews will have a big season. But don't you think, I mean, that
there's
guy,
a role for Likely.
You cannot put that car back in the garage.
Yeah. There's a role for him. Because he's not as large as Andrews. Maybe not as physical and inline blocker, though he was pretty good last night. But he looks like an overgrown wide receiver. You know what I mean? Just kind of the way he moves around a little bit. And if attention is going to be paid to Zay Flowers, who they featured heavily, and you would think Andrews get the same requisite attention for a guy that's been close to a 1,000-yard receiver in his own right as a tight end, there'll be some spots for him.
I love how hard Isaiah Pacheco plays and runs. Mm-hmm. He just does everything pretty violently, angrily. He also is one of these guys. You know how some people move in a way where it doesn't look like there's any effort? James Wood does this. He is a glider.
He's a glider.
With his limbs, to the point where there was a piece written in the Post about how, like, his coaches growing up at different levels didn't think he was hustling. And still, I'll get a tweet every now and then from Nats fans like, why doesn't he run or why doesn't he do this? It's like, no. You didn't notice that he was the fastest guy on the field in that moment. It just looks different because mm-hmm. he's so giant. It looks like Pacheco, everything is like really...
Yeah, whatever the opposite of James Wood is right. Pacheco.
It's choppy. It's
I angry. Just got sugar! You know, like he's so...
Rashee Rice slanted the Ravens to death all night. Mm-hmm. Very much not suspended, if you're curious. He is on the field. 7 for 103 last night, their leading receiver. Facing 8 felonies, I think, but nothing has come in terms of hearings yet, so the NFL's waiting on that. And he fell in a lot of fantasy drafts because people just didn't know if he was getting suspended or not. Looks like he's in tune for a big season, perhaps. We'll see how much the offense changes when Hollywood Brown comes back. Two other things. They debuted their rookie Xavier Worthy. How fast is that guy?
He's expedient.
That is quite literally the fastest 40 time in the history of the NFL was turned in by him. His first touch was a 21-yard touchdown last night. I want to give Clary credit because he was in here last night saying he put money down on a first touchdown for Worthy. Now, he didn't win it because, unfortunately, the Ravens got the ball birth first.
And just walked down that field.
But how about Worthy, dude?
Yeah.
And then he had the busted coverage 35-yard touchdown later in the game.
So, a couple things. My note, I only have a few to add. Both those teams are excellent. Both those teams are going to be factors. Both those teams are going to be really, really good this year. I saw nothing to dissuade me of that. Kansas City's offense is going to look like we're used to it looking. Last year is the anomaly. Now they've got a few more toys. They're more versatile, right? Now that you don't have to force feed Travis Kelce. Baltimore's plan, to me, looked like they wanted to take Kelce away. Fine. Watch this. We'll spread you out with this super fast dude. We'll find a matchup to exploit. If you're going to bracket Travis Kelce, okay, you're going to leave Rashee Rice on a linebacker, and you're going to lose that time after time after time after time. And having Worthy, I don't know how great a football player he is. I know this is going to sound a little bit iffy, but bear with me. I don't know if he's like, if he went somewhere else, he would be 1,200 yards and 10 touchdowns. I know that as a toy in Andy Reid's offense, he's terrifying. And that presence, I think, is what matters the most.
I also think the discourse on him is going to get out of hand this week because he scored 2 touchdowns. One was on a really nicely designed, perfectly called play where he didn't get touched.
Yeah, there were like 7 or 8 mammoth dudes in front of him paving the road.
The other was a busted coverage completely. And so it was 2 scores and he had a monster game. But I could very easily see that's, you know, 1 catch for 4 yards next mm-hmm. week or something like that.
Yeah, I think the threat of him is more important than him, if that makes any sense.
Ravens need Lamar Jackson to make more throws, though. And he missed way too many throws.
Yeah, and for Baltimore's perspective, it always sort of feels a little bit to me like when they have a huge game like this where everybody's they know the talking heads tomorrow are going to be saying something. It's almost like it reminds me of like a filmmaker who got criticized for his last movie going, fine, I'll do what you guys want in this movie. Because remember, he just stood in the pocket against Kansas City in the AFC title game and it didn't work real well because they're not really built to do that. They're like, okay, fine, we'll run him to death. See if that makes you happy. And there's a happy medium there. Even still, I was pretty impressed with the Ravens.
Yeah, I was too. I do have questions about their O-line, which after last night didn't get answered for me.
They still have him.
And I just think Jackson, you know, he averaged 1 yard average depth of target through almost 3 quarters.
Mm-hmm.
Like quite literally, was averaging throwing the ball 1 yard from the line of scrimmage. And then they finally opened the offense up a little bit, but he missed throws time and time again late in that game. And against the Chiefs, whether it's in the regular season or the playoffs or other teams like the Bengals, he's just going to have to be sharper,
100%.
Spinning the football.
Yep.
As impressive as he was running for 120 yards last night. Also want to see more Derrick Henry. I thought that worked early. And while the Chiefs did a pretty good job against him, 3.5 a pop last night, I thought there was a little more meat on the bone that they didn't pick at second half of that game from a play-calling standpoint last evening. All right, next on Grant and Danny on a Football Friday, there is a standalone game tonight. We got a nationally televised international game between the Packers and the Eagles, and we'll give you our first feel on the Commanders and the Bucks. You are listening to The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Days away from Commanders Bucks. It's a Football Friday on Grant and Danny. Coming up at 2:45, our top five NFL games of the weekend. We'll rank those for you. 3 o'clock, TJ Reeves, who's on Bucks Radio working the sideline, will get us the latest as we scout the opponent. And at 3:30, Michael Lombardi will join us to go around the NFL ahead of the first big batch of games this weekend. Two will have already been played because last night the Chiefs beat the Ravens 27-20 in a thriller. And tonight, the Packers and the Eagles are coming your way from Brazil on NBC. For the second time in as many nights, we'll have a nationally televised game under the lights to kick off the 2024 season. Danny, this is the first Friday night game in the opening week of the year in 50 football seasons. First ever game played in Brazil since 1990, 34 straight years. At least four teams have made the playoffs that didn't 1 year earlier. Last year, there were six such teams. For these two teams tonight, they're hoping that they are carryover playoff teams from one season ago. The Packers, the Eagles, prime time.
It's a good one, man. There's a lot of subplots that obviously go into stuff like this, right? You mentioned the Friday night element of it. You mentioned the Brazil element of it. That's pretty unique. Some of the security concerns and sort of extra layers of things that these players have had to do and go through. I was reading that I think it was the Packers. Maybe it was I can't remember which team. So I apologize if I get this wrong. But just because of where they had to stay and why, their commute to the stadium is almost 2 hours with some of the traffic that they're going to experience here during rush hour on a Friday evening. So it hasn't gone off without a hitch in terms of logistics, but hopefully it all goes smoothly and, you know, everybody's able to get there safe and sound and, you know, no incidents or no problems. And we get a good old-fashioned football game on a Friday night here before things really kind of go in earnest in normal fall football seasons around these parts. But for Philadelphia, there's a lot on the line here. I could see a scenario. I predicted them to win the division. I could see a scenario where they don't, where whatever happened last year, the poison is still there, and they thought they got rid of it with, you know, a bunch of coordinators being exchanged and, you know, a bit of new personnel and kind of a reboot from a group that had been really, really good for, you know, the previous 1.5 seasons, and it doesn't go well. Their coach gets fired, and everything has to be new again. Or I could see them getting over that kind of that nasty barrier or whatever the hell that was. They exercised all the things. They cut off all the bad, and now they're ready to roll again and are the best team in the division and a threat to do a lot of damage in the postseason. For Green Bay, that's a team on the rise. They had to be patient, had to get kicked in the teeth a little bit. No Devontae Adams or nobody like that. They've had great quarterback play and also a superstar receiver to go with it for a while. They didn't. And now they're starting to develop those things with a nice young receiving core, a solid group there is assembled, and the ascending Jordan Love, who's as good as anybody in the second half of last year.
Yeah, last year, Jordan Love ranked second in the NFL with 32 touchdown passes, and he ranked seventh with 4,159 passing yards, and it was only his first season as a starter. He's now had 9 games with multiple touchdowns and no interceptions, which is the most in the league this past season. He has a chance for a 10th tonight. That would tie Patrick Mahomes, Brock Purdy, and Justin Herbert for the most such games in your first 20 starts in NFL history. He is off to a very, very good start. It's a huge game for Jalen Hurts, who was exceptional 2 years ago and regressed last season and is trying to prove that that step backwards was more a misstep, you know, just losing some footing and not the beginning of the rest of his career. We'll have more on this game as we get closer to kickoff on a Football Friday on Grant and Danny. But let's turn our attention to the Commanders and the Bucks for the first time here and take a peek at the matchup that'll get Washington's campaign underway. What is your first feel on the Commanders and the Bucks? We're going to open up the phones on this for you guys. We want to hear from our listening audience at 800-636-1067. We want to take your temperature on this Friday. I know people are fired up. I was texting with a buddy who was on a flight leaving today to go to Tampa. I said there was a lot of people wearing burgundy and gold. So we want to hear from you, those of you that are still in the area or listening on the Odyssey app, if you're down there getting ready for kickoff in Florida. What are your first feelings when you think about the game?
Yeah, I think there's a huge section of this fan base that is kind of, I don't say looking past Tampa, but isn't taking Tampa maybe as seriously as they should. That's not a bad team. I don't think they're great. I don't think they're world beaters. I don't think they're a threat to win the Super Bowl, but they were a playoff team last year that's pretty much the same roster. And they're decent. You can even say they're pretty good.
Would you put me in that group when I say there's no reason Washington can't beat them? Like, I don't think the Bucks are bad. I think they're aggressively okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think they are a 7-9 win team probably. If you told me they won 10, that wouldn't surprise me. In fact, yesterday I said them and Atlanta are probably about the same kind of club. Maybe Atlanta is a hair better, but I don't think the Bucks winning the division would be a surprise at all. Having said that, I totally think the Commanders can beat them on Sunday.
I think it's a winnable game, but I also think that people, because of that, they're going, they'll win the game. Tampa's favored by 3.5. Now, you say what you want about what home field advantage means.
Probably 2 points now for being at home.
We're going to continue to update our file, by the way, as that number fluctuates. It's going to be hot as hell down there, by the way. So I don't know if that's a factor, good or bad, but it's just going to be.
Well, a lot of times with those stadiums in week one, week two, when it's super hot in Florida or otherwise, they position the visitor sideline on the side of the stadium that gets all the sun.
Getting baked in.
And it doesn't change over the course of the year, but it is part of the home field advantage. Now, I don't know if Tampa to the same extent as Miami, but this is like something that's known really well at the Dolphins' place, is the way that stadium's positioned, you bake on the visitor sideline. So, like, their record when it's over 80 degrees in early September is unbelievable at home. I'm not sure if it's the same in Tampa, but I would imagine No, you're worse off being there in the heat than you'd be, say, in Chicago or indoors or something like that.
Yeah, that's a good point. I haven't thought of it even that level of specificity. But Tampa's decent. They got good weapons. I know we're tired of Mike Evans and Chris Godwin because they've been around forever, but they're producers. Mike Evans just goes for 1,200 yards and double-digit touchdowns every year and mosses people. He's a tough matchup.
How much do you think he has left?
Listen, he's not a burner anymore. He's not deep threat Dave, but he'll go up and get it. Like, he's still a problem. You know what I mean? Like, in fantasy, he always gets overlooked because the new exciting thing, like, oh, I want Nico Collins, or I'm super excited about, fill in this younger wide receiver. I'm betting this guy's bounce back. And there he is, just steady, boring. Mike Evans, 80 catches, 1,200 yards, 11 touchdowns.
It's crazy to me that his numbers were as good as they were last year. Like, if you would have asked me sight unseen, 79 grabs for 1,255 and an NFL high 13 touchdowns.
Just what he does, man.
Kind of a show. It's the third time, by the way, in 4 years he's had 13 or more touchdowns. He's had 12 or more 5 times in his Hall of Fame career. Every year he has gone for 1,000 yards. Nobody's ever done this as long as he has to start a career now for 10 straight seasons. I just view him, though, as almost the consummate, like, let's get him to 1,000 guy. You know, in the last 2 weeks of the year, he's sitting at around 58 or 60 catches for like 850 yards. And the last couple of games, they're just making sure they keep the streak alive. There was a run, remember, where he had 1,006, 1,035, 1,001 yards. So, yeah, he's had some big years sprinkled in, and I would put last year in there. Now, he doesn't scare me as much, although I will tell you, while he's not a lethal weapon that's going to take a catch and go for a touchdown and break tackles or anything, he's more of a catch-and-fall guy at this point. The size is a problem for Washington, because if you don't travel Benjamin St. Juste, Emmanuel Forbes is going to match up with Mike Evans. That is a center against a point guard. I mean, that just doesn't work.
No, it does not. And so I like a lot of this, the personnel that they have in Tampa Bay. Now, I think they're limited because Baker Mayfield's fine. I think they've been lulled into the cult of fine. He had a great year last year. That's as good as it's going to get, and won't get that good again. But offensively, I like Tristan Wirfs a ton. He's one of the dudes I wanted to trade back out of the number two spot instead of trading Chase Young to acquire, if possible, guys like that. But that line, I think, is pretty decent. We mentioned Mike Evans an awful lot. Chris Godwin is, again, always injured, always that little flag next to his name, but it's early season. He's as good kind of a working underneath compliment to Evans. And Rashad White's pretty versatile, good out of the backfield. Not a great explosive runner, but plenty good enough. Offensively, that's a pretty good group. And defensively, Vita Vea is a badass in the middle, and they are going to blitz the instant the first whistle blows and then maybe a little bit afterwards. Like, they are here to hunt and try to make the life difficult for a rookie quarterback. So I'm a little nervous about this.
They drafted a second-round pick at defensive end, Logan Hall. They've got an edge rusher on the other side in Tryon Soyinka, who's done some decent things, has not really turned into, I don't think, the pass rusher that was kind of billed when he was taken in the first round a couple years ago. I bring this up because the tackle position's in a bit of flux for Washington. We found out today that the Commanders are going to rotate Cornelius Lucas and Brandon Coleman at left tackle, it sounds like. Now, basically, Dan Quinn was talking. He was asked, is Brandon Coleman going to start on Sunday? He said he's going to play. And then it came up the probability of a rotation that they both get reps. He said, quote, yes, it's very realistic, and yeah, we're planning on that, but Brandon's really done a remarkable job coming back. And I would say he was close to being ready for the third preseason game. We just made the decision, hey, this is not the space and time to go push it into this spot, knowing we had time to come, but he's absolutely ready to let it rip. I view a rotation not as, like, they really like Lucas or they're afraid to just, you know, sit him or anything. I think they're not sure yet. Like, you don't want to go from zero preseason games to just throwing Brandon Coleman into the deep end to go play 65, 70 reps. So this is, as much as anything else, almost like putting him on a pitch count as your starter to get him built back up because he didn't play at all in August.
Yeah, and also to ease into what figures to be. This isn't just your, you know, Super Bowl winning New York Giants defense or Carolina under Ron Rivera, where we're rushing four. There's no mystery to it. That's what we're doing. This is going to be a whole bunch of crazy stunts and games and, you know, this guy looks like he's blitzing, but he's not, but it turns out he is later, and this guy's delayed, and this guy's looping around. I just think there's going to be a lot of complication. And for a rookie, I'm worried about Daniels handling it. I'd be worried about a rookie left tackle handling it as well.
Yeah, operation, keep Jaden Daniels upright. That's a pretty large development. A rotation in game one between Lucas and Coleman. My guess is drive-by-drive. And this is not completely unheard of to kick off a regime. When I covered the Shanahan group in 2010, they had a rotation at one point between Jamal Brown and Tyler Palumbis. They did it at left guard as well with, I believe it was Derek Dockery and Corey Lichtensteiger in their first ever game in D.C. So while rare, not completely uncommon. And the competition continues. And my guess is they hope Coleman wins the thing. And by week two, week three is their full-time left tackle. Next, let's take a look at the NFL Week 1 slate and pick our favorite games. We'll rank our top five games of the weekend on Grant and Danny in 20 minutes. The Bucs sideline reporter gives us all the details we need on Tampa Bay as an opponent this weekend. You're listening to The Fan. Week one NFL football is here. Another game tonight, and then the rest of the slate Sunday into Monday. We're Grant and Danny. This is The Fan. Let's rank our top NFL games of the weekend. We will go 1 to 5 on our rankings. We'll count it down. Danny, get it started.
Jets, Niners. Oh, my God. Bring it immediately. I want more of it. Could they play twice? I would watch it. Jets, 49ers, game of the weekend. Two teams that I think have a great chance of playing deep into the postseason, maybe even meeting in the Super Bowl, dare I say. A lot of expectations in New York, rightfully so, a lot of expectations in San Fran. That is my game of the week.
My favorite game this weekend is the Rams and the Lions. Rematch of an NFC playoff game. Storylines galore. Matt Stafford back in Detroit. Jared Goff taking on the team that told him to kick rocks at one point in time with Sean McVay. I love it. Sunday Night Football, primetime, Natty TV. I think it is the perfect week one game. Rams-Lions is going to be excellent. Also, two teams that have a chance to come out of the National Football Conference. Mm-hmm. Two teams that I think going into the year view themselves as Super Bowl caliber. Now, I'm not as high on the Rams as everybody else is, but I definitely think the Lions could and probably should be the one seed in the NFC. So that's my number one game, Rams-Lions.
You covered it. That's my number two game. It would be one and almost any other week. The storylines are there. I think the Lions are poised to make an awful lot of noise. This is one of their 14 indoor games that they play this season, and they're designed to do just that.
A little bit of a hipster pick here that you're going to hate, but I don't know what to tell you.
It's your list.
I'm really excited about
it. It's your list.
Titans-Bears.
Guy.
Titans-Bears.
Can you don't look at my paper.
I am a hipster on this. I want to see Caleb Williams. By the way, Bill Belichick shredded Caleb Williams a little bit on the weird show that he does. It's not on HBO anymore or Showtime. It's like on the CW. Ryan Clark hosts it for some reason. I don't know what the show is. It's like Inside the NFL or something. But anyway, he was talking about how everyone went crazy about Caleb Williams preseason. He's like, I just watched the tape, and it was a 50% completion percentage, and he made two great plays and missed a bunch of throws. Like, he was not very happy.
No, he's not pleased.
I happen to really like what I saw because there were some incredible snaps on film from Caleb Williams. But I want to see him, and you and Ryan have been doing a lot of talking about the Titans. And the more I'm listening and watching and just seeing people around the league kind of come around on Tennessee, I'm intrigued. I'm not going to say I'm excited about them, but I believe in offense over defense. So getting rid of Vrabel, going with Callahan, I think I like that kind of practice in general. I'm not a big Will Levis guy, but I don't think he's horrendous. I think if you surround him with enough talent, and they've tried to. Calvin Ridley, you know, DeAndre Hopkins, the list goes on and on with the weapons. So I'm interested in this game. Titans-Bears. I don't think it's two great teams, but I think it's two interesting teams.
It's on my list. Spoiler alert. Number three for me, Colts-Texans. This is for the division. That's how the last year ended. It's fitting that it's here in week number one. The defending champion, Houston Texans, a team that everybody's crowned, understandably. Great season last year. Great rookie quarterback in C.J. Stroud. Back for sophomore year. More weapons on offense. Enter Stephon Diggs, Joe Mixon. More on defense. Enter Danielle Hunter. They look poised to take it. Here are the Colts. Whisper quiet waiting in the wings. Anthony Richardson, what is he going to be? A promising start last year. Basically a Cam Newton 2.0. Thumping the ball as a goal line back. Big, physical, fast as all hell. Rocket for an arm. How good is he as a passer? That's TBD. But that's my number three game of the week.
My number three game was your top game. The Jets and the 49ers. Storylines write themselves, yeah? Aaron Rodgers back in California where he grew up near San Francisco. The 49ers at one point flirting with Rodgers didn't work out, obviously, for Kyle Shanahan. Rodgers trying to play five snaps. If he can do that, he'll supplant last year's total with the Jets. They think they can get to a Super Bowl. I am dubious about New York based on the age of the quarterback coming back from a serious injury. Also, some questions about San Francisco. You know, as the year goes on, they're going to be a juggernaut. But Brandon Ayuk missed essentially the entire offseason. So did Trent Williams. They both just showed back up, ready to go this week. Brock Purdy was pretty rusty in the preseason with lesser talent around him. I'll be curious to see if they can hit the ground sprinting. My guess is the Niners don't really look like the Niners in week one, and this ends up being a really close, good football game.
Game number four for me, Browns-Cowboys. Not because I like anybody involved necessarily, but I'm intrigued, man. This Browns team on paper is so good, and the quarterback, a lot of dramatics there, and Dallas just stood pat. While other people were getting cards to try to get themselves a blackjack, Dallas said, nope, we're good, even though we've got a four showing. They just sat there. How good are they going to be? What's it going to look like? Fascinated by that one.
Yeah, Texans-Colts, which you mentioned, is my number four game. And then Cowboys-Browns is my fifth game. You know why, though? It's just the Tom Brady effect. This game's actually going to be going on while Washington's playing Tampa Bay. So I'm going to have to go back to really sponge up as much Tom Brady as I can. But this will be his debut as a broadcaster. And I was just reading last night, he apparently did a couple dozen practice games, like flying all over the country in jet setting with our guy Kevin Burkhart. He's putting in NFL quarterback level work to get ready for his first game. So color me intrigued. Also, pretty good football teams in Dallas and Cleveland who both plan on making the playoffs and think they can make runs.
Game five, you mentioned the Titans-Bears. I'm curious about the Titans. I'm intrigued. I think they're going to be okay, not great. I think they'll be frisky. And I want to see Caleb Williams and all the weapons.
Those are our favorite games of the NFL weekend that will be. Anything also receiving votes for you that neither of us mentioned that you think is fun?
Cardinals-Bills. The Cardinals are revamped. You could see Kyler Murray run back again, and how good are the Bills?
I like that one. I actually think, you know, if we weren't talking so much about the Bucs and the Commanders in another market, that game might be worth it because of the Jaden Daniels effect. Just same as I was talking about with Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
Like, you want to see that guy. Tampa was a playoff team last year. I also think it just could be interesting to see Steelers-Falcons. Two new starting quarterbacks there, and Russell Wilson if he goes. If not, still a new starting quarterback in Justin Fields. Kirk Cousins in Atlanta. A home game for the Falcons. Mike Tomlin's the most successful head coach as an underdog on the road over the last 20 years. Could be a really, really good football game. Let's talk to TJ Reeves next. He works the sideline on Bucks radio calls. We want to get as much intel as we can on the opponent. TJ joins us next on Grant and Danny.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about
this? I feel like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.